It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Welcome to Retire Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast here today. Well, on today's show, we begin tackling the question, how much is enough? However, before this question can be addressed, there must be a fundamental understanding regarding your nest egg. In this podcast, Ben Tejas will break down the difference between your wealth and your income and the mindset shift required to properly answer this all-important question, how much is enough? Enjoy this episode. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. We're so glad that you're joining us here on Retire Repurpose. Once again, just want to give you just a little bit of an introduction. If you are new to the show, I've been saying this the past several weeks. First of all, welcome. But second of all, get ready for a different kind of show, a different kind of show or a conversation around retirement. We base everything on time, talent, and treasure. If you were to Google podcasts or really Google anything around retirement, the conversation primarily, in fact, the vast majority, probably 95 to 99% of the conversation revolving around retirement comes down to financial strategies, what you need to be doing financially to retire. Now, on today's show, we're going to get into some of the financials, but we're not going to talk specific strategies, but that's just one piece of the puzzle. Again, you are a total being, okay? It's not just treasure, it's time and talent as well. And like I've said on past shows, if you were to break down which one of those three is most important, of course, we would likely say the time element. If you're new to the show, again, go back and listen to previous episodes. We spent an entire series just talking about how to utilize your time. And we spent a lot of time on that one. And we did a lot of shows on that particular side of this slogan, because that one, again, is the most important one. Then we walked you through our repurpose process of really understanding who you are, understanding what makes you tick, understanding your passions, understanding yourself and your experiences and what you bring to the table, and how you can repurpose those talents into a life that is not just focused on leisure and retirement, but more so on adding value. You used to be doing that when you worked, so why should you be able to walk away from that and not feel like you're missing something? The truth is that you can't. You should be repurposed once you retire. And then last week, in fact, the last couple of shows, we have now transitioned into this conversation around the treasure. And again, we don't want to take away the fact that a solid financial plan, working with a professional to help you create a plan for your retirement long before you retire, is very, very important. But again, it is just one piece of the puzzle. And many times, and I say this with a little bit of a disclaimer, many times that can be one of the easier of the three to figure out. Ben Tejas joins me on the show now. And what do you think when I say that? When I don't want to take away from the financial side of our business and the expertise and the amount of knowledge and horsepower that we have on our team. But how's that land when I say many times the financial side of retirement can lots of times be one of the easier sides to figure out?
Well, Jared, for me, it lands as truth, you know, because I think so many times, I've been doing this 20 years, and what I can tell you from all of those years of experience is that the hardest piece of retirement for most of the people that we deal with does not end up being the financial side. The most difficult side continues to be, how am I keeping, you know, some level of purpose and meaning in my life? Mm-hmm. And most of that's because they walked away from work. They walked away from that 8 to 10 hours a day of meaningful work. And it's so important, whether or not you're a business owner that's getting out of the business, selling for whatever reason, or you're a retiree that is simply saying, hey, I'm to that retirement age, or whatever people are saying, hey, I'm 65, it's time to be done. When you walk away from meaningful work, your ability to impact others, your ability to make a contribution, mm-hmm. really can go down. And that's what we're trying to make sure people don't do.
You mentioned that you've been in the business for 20 years. I mean, give people just a little bit of a background. How many families have you probably interacted with through this process? I mean, we're in the hundreds. Are we in the thousands or maybe 10,000s yet?
Well, thousands, yeah. Jared. And I think that's, people say to be an expert at something, you've got to, I think they said 10,000 hours or something of doing it. That's all I've done for 20 years, is meet with people and help walk them through retirement. And, you know, I've seen almost everything at this point. And again, what I continue to stand firm on is that the financial side of retirement is usually not the hardest part for people. Now, do I realize that there are people that today have not been saving adequately for their working years? Yes. And those folks, sure, there will be financial. That side might be a bigger thing. Yeah. But for most people I deal with, right, we're helping them manage and steward assets, retirement money, so that it does what they want it to do in retirement.
Yeah.
Well, those people have the money, right? It's usually the mindset that needs to be worked on. It's usually the purpose side of retirement that almost can be the bigger challenge.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to take away from having a solid retirement plan and the expertise and the knowledge to be able to understand all of that, put those numbers together. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, it's a mathematical equation, you know, barring some catastrophic, you know, world market or, you know, geopolitical event. You know, I mean, really, it is just really kind of getting down to the numbers. Like you said, the harder part can be family dynamics. It can be mindset. It can be our thoughts or our attachment to money, which is something that we're going to get into in today's show. So I think I hear you. And again, I want people to understand if they're new to us, this is going to be the flavor of the conversation today. We started talking about three questions that you can boil down 20 years of experience now when it comes to stewarding your finances. If you can answer these three questions, this is going to be the foundation by which you propel yourself through retirement. Last week, Ben, we talked about the very first question, which was what?
Well, it's what are you stewarding? And really what we're after there, Jared, is a full capital allocation plan. So really everything somebody has, how it's titled, and, you know, really analyzing each and everything they have, making sure that we understand the full picture.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and obviously a great place for you as financial professionals to start. If you missed last week's show, again, go back and listen to that show because we really break down that question in detail. What are you stewarding? And it goes deeper than just kind of face value, like a few numbers here and there. It really helps you understand your full picture so a professional can help you with that and really make the best decisions that you possibly can going forward. So this week, Ben, we're going to talk about question number two, and this is probably going to be part one of part two, if you want to call it that. But we're breaking down the question, how much is enough for you? This is a very dynamic, multidimensional question. Where do you want to start with this one?
Well, he says part one of two. It could be part one of five.
Three, yeah.
I don't know where this is going to go and how long we can talk about this, because this is probably, well, it's not probably, this is one of the most asked about topics when I talk to people, when I speak. It becomes, let's help people differentiate wealth and income. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're doing here. When I say how much is enough for you, what I'm saying is how much income do you need now and in the future in order to live the life you want to live. Now, you could call it an income plan, really. If the first section we're designing really a capital allocation plan, this section we're helping build out an income plan. But it all starts, Jared, with understanding what is income, why it's so important, and how do you differentiate it from wealth?
Well, you spend an entire section or chapter in your book, Repurpose, just talking about this. So I think let's spend some time now and just go there. Again, we've talked about this in the past, but perhaps people that are new or need a reminder, let's go over what these two are, because this really does, it's a foundational understanding that you have to grasp. Otherwise, everything we talk about here the rest of the show isn't going to make sense.
All right, Jared. So yeah, it's chapter eight, and the chapter is money doesn't buy happiness, but pensions do. And if you're new to the world of finance or the world, even the word pension has you like, well, what is that? It's because most people don't have pensions anymore. And when I came up with that working title in the book, it was because I had witnessed firsthand clients who had that consistent regular pension income. Mm-hmm. So in the past, instead of us having what most of us are used to today in 401ks, which are defined contribution plans, these were defined benefit plans.
Sure.
That where you would work for an employer for a series of years, and they would say, okay, now that you're retired, here is a regular, consistent monthly paycheck, kind of like what you were used to when you were working.
Yeah, it's that same type of thing, and I think that's where it probably feels good to retiree to have that, and it gives people confidence and, now I would say freedom, but the confidence where you can kind of sleep at night knowing that check is going to be rolling in every month or every 2 weeks. mistakes.
Yeah, and furthermore, you don't see the balance. Right. Right? You don't see in that company's pension account how much money is there, quote-unquote, for you. Mm-hmm. Right? What you see when you have a 401k is that balance. Sure. You see that dollar amount on your statement, mm-hmm. and you're like, ooh, is that enough to get me to the end of my life?
Right.
Whereas pensions, that question never even comes up.
Yeah.
People simply say, oh, here's my money, here's my normal paycheck, here's what I can expect to get.
Yeah.
And therefore, that chapter really was born out of that concept of people who have pensions enjoying that regular routine income, and then people who don't have pensions seeing time and time again, mm-hmm. them looking at that dollar amount on their 401k saying, is that enough? Have I put enough away?
Yeah.
You know, because that isn't useful money. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see that 401k and that balance out there, that is wealth. Okay. The best way to define wealth, right, is really it's a stockpile. It's a future. It's something more for in the future. It's a dollar amount that hopefully will be there and hopefully it grows over time.
Yeah.
But it's not meaningful, consistent income like pensions.
We haven't talked about this on the show, but it makes me think of this where, again, in our financial practice, we've talked a lot about Social Security and...
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in... Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
How to decide when you should take the benefit. But one thing that always comes up with our team is they say, you know what, you can spend that check really easily. It's hard to spend the 401k check as easily as the Social Security. A lot of people will say it's because it's the government's money. The truth is it's not really, it's kind of yours indirectly, but this goes back to that whole idea. It's just a regular check that comes in month after month. So that one's fairly easy to spend.
Yeah. And it's what you're used to, Jared, right? You're used to, that regular consistent income while working. And I think when you don't have to see a statement that shows a withdrawal, mm-hmm. you just see the money, it is easier to spend.
Yeah.
The Social Security check, that's probably the easiest check I can see people spend,
right?
To your point, because the money hits their bank account at the same time and they use it. It's part of their overall budget in retirement versus having to really feel like you're pulling money out of an account.
Yeah.
I think sometimes wealth can actually become... almost a detriment to somebody's well-being, right? Their mental well-being for sure. And I think Ecclesiastes says it probably best, is Ecclesiastes 5:11 says, as goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what are the benefit to the owner except to feast his eyes on them?
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think that's what wealth can be. It's like that statement that has a huge dollar amount on it because you've been saving for years and years and years.
Yeah.
At some point, it becomes, what good is it?
Mm-hmm.
Other than, hey, I hope it keeps going up.
Yeah.
There lies a problem with some clients. They say, well, that's wealth. Now I've got to decide when I'm going to start pulling that money out and turning it into income.
Well, we could definitely go a number of roads here. I'm going to throw a couple at you and you can decide which way you want to go. First of all, I think that that's people struggle with that because they find security in that number, even though it's not even like a pile of wealth like back in ancient days where people had like giant stores of grain or gold or something like that. It's literally a number on the page where we have this heart connection and almost where it brings us comfort in the number, even though it's literally a number on the screen. We could talk about that, or Ben, we could talk about why people feel that way, how that's tied to fear and how that fear, for some people, is a really relevant fear of running out of money. But for some people, it's not, but that fear still drives them. Any commentary on that?
Well, I think, just going back to your first comment is, no, it may not look like it did back in the day when we were piling up piles of grain or their stockpiles. But for some of us, I think it does kind of end up being the same thing. There's a point when you're stockpiling for the future where you have enough, where you know that God, you've given me all that I need. I know I have enough, but yet I want more, right? That pile has to be bigger. Maybe it was, hey, I wanted my 401k to be at a million. I'm going to push it a little bit further because just in case, you know, with inflation, with, you know, potential, what's going to happen in the market, I've got to really have it at 1.5 million. Maybe it's got to be 1.7 million, 2 million, whatever that number is. But again, once you're there, it always seems to, the goalpost moves, right? And I think that's, I think a second part of this show or the third when we get into that, but I think that's part of the problem with wealth is we don't tend to get satisfied with what we have. We look at what others have, or yet once we're there, right, once we're in that place, like picture yourself like when you had half of the net worth you have today.
Right.
When you had half again less, you were like, oh, if I could somehow get there I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the goalposts keep moving.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the issue with wealth. Now, with income, can you say that, yeah, I always want more income and more income? Yes, to some extent. I think we can still play that same game in our heads. But I think if we're able to really look at income for what it is, right? The useful side of money. Mm-hmm. And that's what I look at with income. It's the side of money that you can take in and then spend on experiences. You can give it away. You can, again, if it looks more like a tool, like the means, which is, I think income should look more like the means at which we do things.
Yeah.
Whereas wealth sometimes starts to look like the end. Like the end game is have a huge pile of wealth.
Yeah.
Whereas the means is more of the income, which is why, again, I favor income. Because back to the pension, back to your Social Security, or however you're designing that income, it's so much easier to spend.
I saw somebody on LinkedIn describe his relationship with money, the way that he views it, and this was a new thing for him. But he used the word vessel. You know, what do vessels do? Well, they move things. You know, our blood vessels move blood. Shipping vessels move goods, right? So when you view money as not your own, and again, that's a whole nother show, that another rabbit trail we could go down, which we probably shouldn't hear on today's show. But when you view it as your own, you tend to want to hold on to it. And there comes this like de-velocitizing of the money. Again, going back to your analogy of wealth versus income, if we know we have that money coming in, that income stream is coming in, it's more easier to kind of set it free, so to speak. And now you're just the conduit. You're just the vessel. And it seems like that's a much more healthy way to look at money. Another thing that we've talked about is like kind of there's a fine line between saving and hoarding. On the outside, it looks the same. You are storing money away in a bank account or wealth in some sort of retirement vehicle or what have you. But there's a heart condition at play with this. Ben, any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think any time that we can look at that vessel as a tool, right. I would use the word tool. It's how I'm getting things. It's how I'm providing for daily bread. Mm-hmm. And go back to Matthew 6, a prayer by Jesus, like, give us our daily bread. That is what that is really what I need and want. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can look at it as a functional piece of your life, like it's a tool, I really think that, you know, income is wealth turned tangible, and it's way more functional than something on a balance sheet, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're after, is making sure that we have a functional tool here. It's the means at which that you can travel, the means which you can give to charity, you can enjoy and experience more. All of the stuff I just said were life-giving and joyful.
Yeah.
Wealth, on the other hand, can turn more negative at times, again, because it's what happens if the markets go down? What happens if my business value goes down? What happens if, you know, it tends to be more scarcity. It tends to be more
fear-driven,
which is, again, the differentiator that I want to make sure as people are hearing, you know, this section, you know, really it's the how much is enough for you. Yeah, we can get into, you know, how much do you need, and creating budgets and all of these tactical things that a good planner will do.
Yeah.
But you have to understand the heart behind money first. Mm-hmm. Understand just how dangerous wealth can be, And then understand how powerful regular, consistent income is right on the onset.
Well, again, in the defense of people that have worked very hard, business owners, entrepreneurs, people that are affluent who have amassed large sums of money and wealth, you know, they're in the building phase. You know, I don't think anybody is talking about capping their income, so to speak, or very few anyways. Like during their working years, they're not like, you know what, I just only want to make this much. Of course, the general theme is like, I want more.
But
what you're asking to is to shut that off and change it.
Jared, I'm saying maybe we should be asking that question. Maybe in our earning and growing years, we should be okay asking that question. Would our lives be better had in our 40s, 50s, whenever that number is, hey, I can plan that accordingly, that I have everything I need now and in the future. I've set that. Mm-hmm. That goal post is here. The finish line is here. I think we should be asking those questions more. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes down to income, we should be able to say, okay, yeah, this is enough. Mm-hmm. This is enough for me. Because I think too many times the desire of trying to get more creates more problems in our lives, right? I mean, the busyness that we didn't need. Think of the stuff that you have. I have a client right now that I talked about in last meeting. Is he was actually trying to simplify his balance sheet so that he could have more time, right? Another way to think about this is if you've got good income and you know you have enough now and in the future with your income plan, potentially you could slow down, scale back, and work less way prior to retirement. Right. And allow you to really use that most important of the three T's, your time, right? More than just trying to, I'm going to keep trying to earn. I'm trying to save. I'm trying to build more wealth when you really may not use it. You end up at some point working really hard for your kids and grandkids, charity, whoever it is. I'm not saying it's bad. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if your heart is there because you want to amass way more wealth and you're putting your hope in that wealth, that's where we start to see, maybe you've got your hope in the wrong place and maybe you got to revisit why you're working so hard in the first place.
Can you answer the question, you know, how much is enough for me, but still have a mindset of growth and building? How would you answer that question?
Yeah, sure, Jared. You should be able to do that. You absolutely, at some point in your working career, if you're successful and if you are growing really fast, there will become a time when you are no longer working for income. We're saying, you know, I am working to make a difference in somebody's life. I am working specifically not for the paycheck anymore, but it's to do good. It's to create more, to change the world, whatever that is. But that doesn't mean that you have to continue to amass wealth there. Mm-hmm. Like you can have an income cap. And I've worked with people who say, you know what, I'm not going to make over, let's say $1 million, really successful person. All the income past that is being donated to charity. It's being poured into, you know, the community, whatever they're doing with it. But you don't have to just continue to build. If you know that you're content in this season and you're where you want to be, and you know down the road your needs are covered, that doesn't mean you should just stop growing your business. Mm-hmm. You know, get back to stewardship. God's given you the ability to grow something.
Yep.
And as long as you're growing it for the right reasons, keep on growing.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you clarified that because I think people could hear a contradiction in at the beginning of the show, like retirement is the time to be growing, adding value and doing these things. And then we're telling people to be like, scale back, find the cap. So what you're saying is create that ceiling on your own income. Don't stop growing and adding value or even building, but yet create a boundary, so to speak, for yourself, because that will lead us into the third question, which is what do you do with the rest? We'll get that in a future show, but really establishing kind of a fair and I would say, I don't know if I say desirable, but some sort of marker for you to shoot for and just to understand that's what you have to live off of.
Yeah, Jared, the reality of it is only a certain amount of money will buy you any happiness, but a lot of money can actually buy you a lot of dissatisfaction and fear-driven anxiety. Mm-hmm. So you look at someone like Bill Gates, hit one of his quotes. I love this quote. He says, I can understand wanting to have $1 million, but once you get beyond that, I do have to tell you, it's the same hamburger. The reality of it is there's a, you know, from the poorest of poor to the wealthiest of wealthy, right? There's a certain economic level which your daily needs are met. You get your food, you get health care, you're able to provide for your family. You're not stressed about money. There's a number out there, and there's studies done on this. We won't get into that today. But really, beyond that point, there's a point at which actually the more wealth you have, the more anxiety problems that will come with it.
Yeah. We've got about 30 seconds left here. I think we kind of covered the wealth and income side. We're going to continue on this treasure aspect, answering this question, how much is enough for you? But what are we going to talk about more next week?
Well, Jared, I think we're going to talk about the concept that oftentimes gives my highest net worth clients a real questionable face when I tell them about this. I say, you guys need a budget. Like, we need a budget. We've got more than enough. Well, the difference in what we're talking about next week is we're going to give you a budget or boundaries in order to help you spend more, in order to help you give more away. When you are earning money, right, early in your career, people always say you got to save, save, save. Create a budget so you know what's left over so that you can save that. The exact opposite is true for somebody that's successful in retirement is they're actually budgeting so they can spend and give even more than ever.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
Hi, this is Suzanne Newman, host of the Answers for Elders podcast and radio show. We are the North Star that guides you through the complicated journey of senior care with trusted experts in money, law, living solutions, and more. So join us on this station, your favorite podcast channel, or just go to answersforelders.com. Meet the way showers who will help your journey go a lot easier.